Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Melanie C. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, September 20th, 2018, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book in the chapter to Wives, and we are on page 118 at the third paragraph, which starts with, "We women carry with us a picture of the ideal man." We'll be reading through four paragraphs today that will end on the top of page 120 with "Find one much better." And today's readers are the 12 Steps, Elena A.M., the 12 Traditions, Laura A., reading the text and support today, Cheryl A., Liat T.D., and Liz T. Thank you very much for that loyal service. The share ID numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. meeting is 11937, 11,937, and that would be for Wednesday, September 19th. And then for the meeting this morning, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting for Thursday, September 20th, that share ID number is 11939, 11,939. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither accepting nor soliciting outside. Political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Elena A.M. to please read the 12 steps.
My name is Elena A.M. I'm from Pennsylvania, and here are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all of these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for this service opportunity, and I pass.
Thank you, Elena A.M. She's from Pennsylvania. I will now ask Laura A. to please read the 12 traditions.
Hi, this is Laura A., recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants they do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversies. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me do service, and I pass.
Thank you. Laura A., how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resumed our study of the Big Book in the chapter to wives on page 118, starting with paragraph 3. We women carry with us a picture of the ideal man, reading through 4 paragraphs today, and that will end on the top of page 120 with find one much better. And I will ask Cheryl A. to open us up here by reading those paragraphs and discussing that. Star 1, Cheryl A.
Can I be heard now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Hi, this is Cheryl A., recovered compulsive overeater from Boston, Massachusetts. We women carry with us a picture of the ideal man, the sort of chap we would like our husbands to be. It is the most natural thing in the world, once his liquor problem is solved, to feel that he will now measure up to that cherished vision. The chances are he will not, for, like yourself, he is just beginning his development. Be patient. Another feeling we are very likely to entertain is one of resentment, that love and loyalty could not cure our husbands of alcoholism. We do not like the thought that the contents of a book or the work of another alcoholic has accomplished in a few weeks that for which we struggled for years. At such moments, we forget that alcoholism is an illness over which we could not possibly have had any power. Your husband will be the first to say it was your devotion and care which brought him to the point where he could have a spiritual experience. Without you, he would have gone to pieces long ago. When resentful thoughts come, try to pause and count your blessings. After all, your family is reunited, alcohol is no longer a problem, and you and your husband are working together towards an undreamed of future. Still, another difficulty is that you may become jealous of the attention he bestows on other people, especially alcoholics. You have been starving for his companionship, yet he spends long hours helping other men and their families. You feel he should now be yours. The fact is that he should work with other people to maintain his own sobriety. Sometimes he will be so interested that he becomes really neglectful. Your house is filled with strangers. You may not like some of them. He gets stirred up about their troubles, but not at all about yours. It will do little good if you point out and urge more attention for yourself. We find it a real mistake to dampen his enthusiasm for alcoholic work. You should join in his efforts as much as you possibly can. We suggest that you direct some of your thought to the wives of the new alcoholic friends. They need the counsel and love of a woman who has gone through what you have. It is probably true that you and your husband have been living too much alone, for drinking many times isolates the wife of an alcoholic. Therefore, you probably need fresh interests and a great cause to live for as much as your husband. If you cooperate rather than complain, you will find that this excess enthusiasm will tone down. Both of you will awaken to a new sense of responsibility for others. You, as well as your husband, ought to think of what you can put into life instead of how much you can take out. Inevitably, your lives will be fuller for doing so, and you will lose the old life to find one much better. There's so much in this to learn from, not just not only as someone who is quote-unquote a wife, and I certainly am a family member and friend of those who are in deep into this disease and not actually not recovering. But there's so much to learn as we back out into ourselves as the alcoholic, the compulsive overeater, into what we need to learn, what we need to know about this disease in ourselves. So this morning at the 7 a.m. meeting, I heard Harlan speak about Lois and Bill, and it really dug into me. Wow. Lois tried for, I think it was 16 years, from 1918 to about 1934, when Bill actually got sober, to try and help him. She did everything. We've read the stories. We know all she did, everything she possibly could to try to help her husband get sober, and he didn't, and he couldn't. And then within a month of meeting Ebby Thatcher, being reunited with Ebby, his old drinking buddy, he got sober. He had his spiritual experience in the hospital. And what is that? I mean, it says in here that the resentment can build up because the family members of ours can't really do it. But then the depth and weight of another compulsive overeater can just bring us to our knees. And I mean, that's an amazing thing to understand about the disease. It's the understanding about the disease that strikes me so powerfully, that I need something that a human can't give me. And what Ebby gave Bill wasn't that he was his higher power. It was that he shared an experience of gaining power. And he shared what Bill was struggling with in a way that those who do not share our compulsive overeating can't get. So the combination of that depth and weight and the experience and observation of someone else who had access to power was this elixir that created an antidote to what ails us, which is a disease that cannot be cured by the love, by the focus, by the attention, as exemplified by 16 years of this poor woman trying to help her husband. And then within a month, wow, look what happened to Bill. The other thing I just want to comment on, Melanie, I'm just realizing I'm not timing myself, so if I'm getting too far astray here, just let me know. I think I may have maybe a few more seconds here.
10 seconds.
But okay, got it. So both of you, at the end where it says both of you will awaken to a new sense of responsibility for others, as I have devoted myself more and more and more over 30 years and now in a way that I really never have before, to service, to helping others. This has come true for me, that I have become awakened to the responsibility for others, not just in this program, which it has growing day by day, but in the rest of my life, in a way that is allowing me to fulfill the second part of the 12th step, which is to practice these principles in all of our affairs. And that part of the 12th step eluded me for years. I'm so grateful to have had the opportunity to be of service today, and with that, I pass.
Thank you, Cheryl A. Okay, so the lines are open for others to comment on those four paragraphs. Page 118, paragraph 3, for through four paragraphs. I'd like to take your name. Who's ready?
Ginger and Dina.
Chevy K.
And Chevy. I got you, Chevy, and then Donna. Anyone else? Okay, sounds like we got a good lineup here. Ginger C, Gina R, Chevy K, and Donna B. Good morning, Ginger.
Good morning, Mel. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Oh, great. Ginger C, recovered compulsive overeater, and thank you so much for your service this morning. And we cooperate, we don't complain. Oh, so much that we just read in those paragraphs, so much direction. And for the family, you know, and what is it serving me to complain? And isn't it selfish and self-centered? Again, it's Ginger and it's Ginger's show. You're not following my script. And am I leaning out for your love, affection, esteem, where it really comes from this higher power? You know, and I can get ugly when I go there. So we cooperate. And it's hard for this family. The bottom line is we've been eating, destroying, in isolation, and they have missed us. And we put the fork down. We put the food down. This entire experience unfolds because we follow these precise directions. And then we get busy giving it away because that's our directions. And they see these ear sets, these headsets in our on us all the time, you know, picking up this call, picking up that call. My husband one time said, God, you remind me of like a telephone operator, you know, and that's not a compliment. That's something for me to be paying attention to because I'm to practice these principles in all my affairs. And my family always is number one and comes first. So I have to balance this. And I'm so grateful that I listen. Because lately my daughter even said, gosh, Mom, I'm going to be gone soon. And you're going to miss these moments that we have together in the morning because we both wake up early. Because I usually was listening to a recording or maybe taking a call. So now I put my phone away. I mean, how distracted are we? It's healthy. It's good. It's necessary. Nothing ensures immunity like working one alcoholic with another. But also this family needs our attention. And we need to pay attention when they make comments. It may come out sideways, but it's their hearts, it's their truth. So I just want to share this really sweet story because it's amazing. I've had a lot of hard time with my family with the service piece. And this past weekend, we had a big book speaker in Colorado speaking, and my family got to be in the audience and a part of this for the first time. They've never seen it. They see this phone situation all the time, but they don't quite understand it. And after I had spoken, this lady came up to me and just broke down and sobbed. And we just embraced one alcoholic. That's how it begins, one alcoholic to another. And my daughter observed and just watched this experience in front of her eyes. And the other night at dinner, she said to my family, we need to be nicer to Mom about this phone and what she's doing. Because she got to see it firsthand, what's happening. Lives are being saved from me sharing my depth and weight, my experience, strength, and hope. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Ginger C. Gina R., you're next. And then, Chevy, you'll come after Gina. Hi, Gina.
Hey, Mel. Thanks so much. This is Gina R., gratefully recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. And I live in Green Valley, Arizona. Wow, I'm just... I've been wanting to share for actually the last several days, and I'm just now able to get in. For me, what's unfolding is seeing the plan that my higher power had for my life and my husband's life. And for a long time, I held a lot of resentment that we got together in the middle of his alcoholic fog and my burgeoning alcoholic fog. He's 9 years older than me. And when he got out of treatment, we got all these instructions and we went through aftercare and everything. And he was told that the odds of us staying together were very, very low because we didn't know ourselves and we didn't know each other and we didn't know how to communicate. It felt very dire to me. But my character defect of persistence and, you know, holding things like a dog does a bone, I'm like, no, that is not going to happen. And so I did throw myself as best I could into this program. And then a 20-year gap of not doing anything with the steps, but keeping the alcohol down, the food marches on, I found myself back in that place of desperation and was able to find this particular meeting and work the steps. And now I am recovered from that seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. And God is bringing us together. But it was not without what Ginger was just describing. I found I was binging on the program, binging on the meetings, binging on service to the neglect of Him. And it really created some issues. But as I continued to be awake, aware, and alert, and trusting what God was saying to me, we were able to have some discussions, and He was able to let me know how He felt. And so I've made some adjustments, and I've really reworked my relationship ideals, and He is now a priority, and I don't do nearly as much as I used to do. But recently, I broke my ankle, and I ended up in the hospital for surgery, and He was wanting to know everybody that needed to be called, and first and foremost, it was my family. But then it was my sponsor in these rooms. And I realized that He doesn't even know my sponsor. And so there I am getting ready to go into the operating room, and I'm having Him meet and talk to her in case something happened. You guys are my family, and I would want somebody to know what was going on. And so it was kind of full circle, and I know my time is up, but really, really do appreciate being able to share this morning. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Gina R. Chevy K., you're next, and then Donna.
Hi, this is Chevy K. Good morning. Can I be heard?
Mm-hmm.
Good morning. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater here in New Jersey, so glad to be on the line and sharing. What really spoke to me in this reading is we women carry with us a picture of the ideal man, the sort of chap our husbands should be, and boy, that is me. I have scripted exactly what my husband should be. And all the step 10s I do on my husband look the same. My dishonesties are around my expectations, what he should be doing, expecting from him really what he's not capable of doing, and wanting him to change, which speaks to a real lack of surrender to God and God's path for my husband. My path on a daily basis needs to look like this: acceptance, surrender, forgiveness, and compassion. These paragraphs can apply to any difficult relationship in our lives. And for me, my most difficult relationship is one with my husband. My most important service is to him, because when I'm doing service for my husband, I am in essence taking care of my children, my family, and I am taking care of my recovery. And everything else comes after that. Because my biggest dishonesty is that I believe the way things are should not be the way they are. I want to play God. And when I live in acceptance, surrender, forgiveness, and compassion, that equals serenity for me. And I just want to say that the other day I made a real long amends to my husband. And I sat down and I read to him and admitted to him all my wrongdoings from the bottom of my heart. And the changes I wanted to make moving forward. And I promise you, he had tears in his eyes. He was nearly crying. And he said to me, "I have been waiting for 16 years to hear this from you. And for the past 2 days, he can't stop thanking me. He asked me for a copy of the letter. This is recovery, and this is the way it can be for all of us if we are honest with ourselves and humble. As I work so hard on a daily basis to try and do, God, please guide me and help me. And I just wish all of you a beautiful, blessed day and success in all of your relationships. And I pass."
Thank you, Chevy K. We are on page 118 in the chapter 2, Wives, starting with paragraph 3. We women carry with us a picture of the ideal man, and we're going to read through four paragraphs today. The comments will be on all four, and it ends with to find one much better at the top of page 120. Donna B., you're next, and then we'll open up the lines for others that want to comment on those four paragraphs. Hey, Donna.
Hi, thank you. Can you hear me?
I can.
Great. I, too, want to circle back to the discussion around how present I am with my family. I have an 11-year-old daughter and an 8-year-old son, and they, too, are very consciously aware of the commitment I have to my phone, and they don't see that on the other end of the phone is actually a human being. They just see that their mom is constantly on the phone. And my daughter said to me that she would like for me to be more present at very specific times during the day. So she put me on a phone restriction, which I am honoring. So she asked that I don't speak on the phone from 3:30 to 4. That's right after school pickup. And she says she always has so many things she wants to talk to me about at that time. And then also from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. So in her words, that gives her time to do her homework. It gives me time to do my program work. And then we can be together as a family. It's not always easy for me to honor that request, but I am. So I, too, am constantly learning to balance my responsibility to my family as well as this promise that working with others will secure my immunity from compulsive overeating more than anything else. In regards to my husband, I also wanted to share that it's very natural for me to do 10 steps with my fellows in programs. And we speak the same language and we utilize the same patterns. And so I really value that language. I really value what comes out of that process. But what's happened is that I forget to talk to my husband. So just in the last week, there have been a few occasions in which my husband really felt left out of decision-making, including an instance with a challenge my son is having at school. I spoke about it with people in programs. I made the appointment with the administrator at school. I went to the appointment with the administrator at school. I adhered to the principles of the program and stuck in with the administrator at school. And it was fogged. It was closed. And it was literally 24 hours later that it occurred to me that my husband might have an interest in what's going on with his son. And he was really upset to have been excluded from the meeting, excluded from the decision-making. So I have to remember that as much as I value how this program offers me a way to live my life, I also need to engage the people in my family in making decisions as well. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna B. The lines are now open for others that want to comment on those four paragraphs.
Leah TD.
Kaylee R.
Hey, Kaylee.
No.
Jan B.
Marilyn T.
Hi there.
Jordan L.
Hey, Jordan.
Hey.
Okay, let's go with that lineup. Leah TD, Kaylee R., Jan B., Marilyn T., and Jordan L. Hi again, Liat. It's your time.
Good morning, Melanie. Good morning, everybody. Oh, beautiful shares this morning. Gosh, when I read this, I realize how sick I am or how sick I was and how far I come. I was thinking, what does that have to do with food? Everything I do in life is from the beginning, everything I've done is very not balanced. I don't know balance. I don't know healthy. I can read books, but once it gets to action, I don't know how to do it. You know, when I ate for the effect. I got in a relationship. I got for the effect. I didn't get so I can be there for someone. You know, even in the vows of marriage, you know, for good and for bad, It's only for good and bad for of me, my good and bad. It never was. It's all about me. It always was about me, what I can get out of this life. And I'm so grateful for the steps because, again, what does this have to do with food? For me, what it has to do is everything has to change. Everything. My personality has to change from someone who is self-seeking, self-centered, to someone who is aware of the people around him or her, around me. And it took me for a long, long time because I'm a slow learner, and I am convinced. I go through those stages that it was, first of all, I have this ideal in my head, some twisted, unrealistic idea of what my husband should be. Then when he doesn't get to be that way, I get resentful and jealous, you know. So that's what happened. I don't want him anymore. I want to find the guy, the ideal guy, that will help me not be jealous and resentful. And that doesn't exist. And so, first of all, I'm grateful for sobriety with the food. It puts space between just giving time to, okay, look at how chaotic my life is and how I am acting. And then the steps that help through God heal me and have me more aware of the most important people that I need to pay attention are the people that are right next to me in my own home. My husband, my beautiful husband, has been waiting for me for a long time to come back. My children who have been waiting because I'm out in service and I'm doing things and all. It's all really for me to satisfy this irritability, this contentment that I'm experiencing, that lack of quiet. And with the quiet comes less hunger and more love and compassion and oneness with God and the close people that are close to me the most. And I love you all and all that.
Thank you, Leah TD. Katie R., you're next, and then Jan will come after you.
Hi, can I be heard?
Mm-hmm.
This is Kaylee R. in Northern California, recovering compulsive overeater. I am so, so grateful for this program and the lines, and I just wanted to kind of talk about the support that I've had from my family while struggling through this disease. And I went into relapse a couple months ago, and I was in relapse until last Friday. And I had the support from my boyfriend and my family. I also had the support from my boyfriend when I needed to leave for 5 days and go to a big book retreat where I could get my head back on straight and I could have that willingness again to give up those foods that are controlling my life. So he supported me there. I gave up sugar, Diet Pepsi, alcohol, these things that have still been feeding my disease, and he supported me with that. And I got home on Monday and I said, I need to spend more time in doing program, which means when I get home from work, I need to spend some time working my steps and making outreach and taking phone calls. And while he's a little resistant to that, he is also accepting because he wants me to be sane. But that also means that the time that I do spend with him, I shouldn't be on my phone playing games or texting people. I should try to carve out some time to spend with him so that he also feels important in my life because he makes me feel important and I should do the same for him. And while my program is always going to be number one, and he knows that, I can't be there for him if I'm not sane with the food and if I'm not recovering or hopefully one day recovered, I can't be there for him. And I think he gets that. And I feel very grateful that I have that support and also the support of all my fellows that I met over the weekend. It's so amazing today to be on the lines again and hear the names of people that I met over the weekend and being able to put a face to that name and feeling like I'm not alone here. And that everybody's walking this path with me and I have the support that I need when I'm struggling, or that I can be there for them when they're struggling, or we can be there for each other when we're doing a great job and we're not struggling and we're we're able to accept what our higher power has to say. I think that's my time. And so I just want to say how grateful I am for each of you. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Kaylee R. Jan B., you're next, and then Marilyn will come after you. Hey, Jan.
Good morning. This is Jan B. from Colorado near the Rocky Mountains. I am so grateful for this program. I have been married for 22 years, and I have been in the program for 14 years. I am clearly the husband in this reading, and my husband is definitely the wife. Although we do switch places at times, but I can really see how this program, you know, all the hours on the phone and all of the service work that I do, again, does breed a little bit of neglect from my husband, but it's been so wonderful because he's also in program and he's also started serving above the meeting level in his Al-Anon program. So it's been just wonderful to incorporate that in our lives, and it has really meant a lot. We have had convention meetings, planning meetings at my house, many of them, and it was so wonderful to hear his comment about how we had the laughter and how we worked together to plan, you know, the retreat and the joy that he got to experience just by being downstairs hearing us. So anyway, I also wanted to comment on the last part of that you will lose the old life and find one that is much better. Before program, I can remember the first time I worked the steps back in 2004. I had amends to make for things like slamming my husband's fingers in the doors. I was a raging person. It was just a time where I was very, very selfish and self-centered and really had no consideration of others. And I can say that through the work of this program, I am totally different now, and I really have a chance to see how my actions affect other people. And when I don't, I can work on correcting them, and that's the power of doing the 10 steps. And anyway, I'm so grateful that we had our wonderful time of healing coming together for the retreat. But I think for me, a lot of my healing and work was the actual planning and going forth with the retreat and all the details to make it happen. So anyway, with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Jan B. Marilyn T., you're next, and then Jordan.
Thank you, Melanie. Thank you for being of service. This is Marilyn T. in Northern California, a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. And it's my family, personal, and my family with this program. They're a little different. I was divorced a long time ago, back in the 80s, and had met my ex-husband now, you know, in my early teens. So that life was all in not recovery. He was not in recovery and I wasn't. We did have a child. That child is now going to be 42 this year and he's in recovery. And I thank God for the times that I've been led to recovery. When my son had a raging 10-year meth addiction and he almost lost his life, that is when I sincerely got back into recovery and realizing that I'm just as sick as my family. And my life has changed as it's evolved. I'm 64 years old. I've had two strokes. I've had to retire from work, but I have found new meaning and a new family. And it's the family that you create in your heart, the family that you create in your soul. They are just as important as your program. I have a very dear friend since my son was 7 years old. Again, I said he was 42. She is suffering the early signs of dementia. Being there for them, not being in the food, being able to understand the needs, that respect the dignity, to be present and to go through some very hard and difficult times. This is what I got from this program. This is what I get on a daily basis from this program. And again, it is all about balance. This is what I've gotten out of this
chapter we're reading is the balance that has to be given to first your higher power and the program to your abstinence, like putting on the oxygen mask in a plane before you put the oxygen mask on your child. You have to be present to be able to put that time in, but you have to balance it. I thank God for this program. I thank God for my family and that they stuck with me through the hard times and that we have all come out the other side. And I'm very grateful to my higher power for that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Marilyn T. Jordan L., you're next, and then we'll have time for probably three more folks. Hi, Jordan.
Good morning, Mel. Can you hear me?
I can.
Good morning, Vision. My name's Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in the Rocky Mountains of Colorado. Super grateful to be on the line this morning. This has been very cool to get like everybody's take on this, you know. Normally I'll get kind of judgy and I'll be like, oh, what you're saying isn't right and what you're saying isn't right, and I haven't done that this morning, so progress. but there was kind of a line that hit me here. It's the top of that 1, 2, 3, 4th paragraph. It says, it is probably true that you and your husband have been living too much alone. Their drinking many times isolates the wife of an alcoholic. And I kind of like to think of Nathan as my wife. When he and I met, I was abstinent. I wasn't like in OA. I was out in the world doing it on my own. But I most definitely knew that there was a higher power working in my life because I'd never been able to get abstinent before ever. So there was like that element to it. It just didn't involve you guys, you know, like the other like half or part of this power that I need, which is the fellowship, you know. It didn't involve you guys, but I was like reasonably happy for the first time in my life, you know. And Nathan is like, he's a pretty vibrant person. I was most definitely attracted to that, you know. And I mean, I can't say for sure because I'm pretty biased, but at the end of, getting abstinent this time around, like in here with you guys, with A Vision for You, and some other face-to-face meetings I go to in Denver, he was not that person anymore at all. He was kind of an asshole. And I think about it, and I think that this line kind of describes what was going on there, you know? Like, we didn't go out, we didn't do anything fun, we didn't have any friends. We were isolated, you know? Literally, like, my phone, I would go for weeks without anyone calling me except for him. And probably the same for him too, you know? I'll wrap this up. I don't want to like put this on him because he's a pretty independent guy, but I look at him and I feel like he has come back to life as well. Like, he started golfing again, and we like went out to dinner with another couple the other night. Did couple-y stuff. It's kind of cool. So anyway, I just thought I'd share that. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Jordan. I have time for probably two, perhaps three other folks that want to comment on these three paragraphs.
Janice P.
And then Therese. I got to Janice P. Did I hear Susanna?
Suzanne, correct.
Suzanne B. Okay. Thanks. Janice PM. I have Therese P. And then Suzanne. Great. Thanks so much. Hey, Janice, good morning.
Hey, Melanie, good morning to you. Just remind me, is it paragraph 3 and 4?
Actually, it's paragraph 3 through 4 paragraphs, so we have a few more if you want to go.
Oh,
go to the top of page 120, yeah.
Oh, God, where have I been? I know where I've been. Well, anyway, okay, good morning to everyone. My name is Janice PM, and I'm grateful this morning to be a recovered compulsive overeater. Okay, well, you know, I can certainly talk on paragraph 3. I'm the woman, you know, that I'm the compulsive overeater. My poor husband, I created this image of what a husband should be. And, you know, I was married for a long time, and I continued. And, you know, from 1965 to, I don't know what year, but, of course, he passed away in 2018, a few months ago. And I tried and tried and tried and tried, even in recovery, girls, boys, even in recovery, trying to change him. Because, you see, I'm not cured. And I'm in a spiritual growing period. Until the day I die, I'm never going to be the ideal woman, wife, mother, and I wanted the ideal husband. Well, you know, but I'm going to tell you that I am, because I'm not cured, and, you know, I had very little patience. I wanted, you know, this live and let live, oh, my God, goodness, let him live the way he wants to live because I can't change him. Now, I knew that. I mean, I had all kinds of fellowships behind me, and I knew that. But for me to practice it was very hard. So this particular paragraph, I mean, this chapter is really teaching me, oh, if I could just go back in time, you know, but I can't. But we can go forward. And that's my message today, is because, you know what, there is a higher power. He's not me. And he's going to change us. Because he changed me before my husband passed away. Now, he didn't cure me, but he certainly made the situation much easier and peaceful in the environment. And if I could only say to you, you know, because when they're gone, whoever it is, you know, you won't have the guilt. You'll have joy and know that, you know, there was peace before he, you know, anybody passes away. And you will get more joy than you would ever give. And this is what it is. And, you know, yeah, did my husband say, oh, you know, I think this is too much here. You know, every day you're in the room, and I was leaving him and blah blah blah. And I did make some adjustments. You know, I can listen to the playback because, you know, I'm selfish. I wanted to listen and do the service and do this. But I was taught through these steps, sure, the principles. That, you know, we can change. We can become unselfish. We don't have to react like I was so used to doing. And with that, I'm going to pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Janice PM. And Therese P., my apologies to Susan, will be our last share for today. Stay with us as we conclude our meeting and continue into greeting our newcomers. Good morning, Therese.
Good morning. Thank you. I'm Teresa, compulsive overeater, and looking at these paragraphs gives me a lot of hope, and at the same time, I have a lot of fear, because I, you know, of my expectations of myself and others' expectations of me. One of the reasons why I've been listening to Vision and haven't been able to get abstinent in the last, I don't know, 4 years, is because I have been unwilling to fully embrace the program, work steps 10, 11, and 12 daily, make my amends. Those are the reasons why I have not been able to recover. But these paragraphs tell me that it is possible. It is possible to find that balance in my life. It's possible for me to do everything. I have a lot going on in my life. I have a very, very busy life, like I'm sure all of us do. But I like to have that terminal uniqueness and think that it's just me, that I'm the busiest person in the world. And that may not necessarily be the case. So, you know, these pages give me hope that it is possible to be recovered, to work the program in every aspect of my life, and to include my family in my recovery and spend time with them that way. Like, the biggest fear that I have is that I'm not going to be available to my son because I didn't have parents that were available to me. And the truth is that he's watching me. He's watching everything that I do. And if, God forbid, he ends up struggling with this disease, he's going to know how to do it because I was a good example. So I'm going to hold on to that this morning instead of getting into fear about not having enough time to do the things that I need to do in order to recover. So thank you so much for being here, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Therese P., and that will be the last share for today during our recorded portion of this meeting. And thank you very much for all that were in service today. We will close now this particular recorded session in preparation for the next 10 minutes by having Liat T.D. read page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only, and then we'll follow that with a serenity prayer. But hang with us. Good morning, Liat. Thank you. Liat T.D., if you could read, our book is meant to be suggestive only. Thank you. Ms. T., are you available to take that spot? Maybe Liat's having some technical difficulty. Ms. T., would you please read page 164?
Hi, this is Liz T., a recovered compulsive overeater. I can sure do that.
Thank you.
All right. I'm just turning to the page here. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.